something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled Praying in the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Do you have your Bible?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes when you talk about a great time, people are not sure exactly what you mean by having a great time. What is a great service? For some people, a great service is a service that was full of shouting and dancing, and they danced and danced until they were sweating. And then, the prayer service was wonderful. The service was great. Now, is that a great service because you danced and you shouted? Maybe, maybe not. For some others, a great service is a service where lots of people give their hearts to Christ. So, wow, many people give their hearts to Christ in that service. Is that a great service? Well, for some others, a great service is a service where many people were healed. Oh, that was a great service. What's a great service? What's a great service? What's a great service? It reminds me of Catherine Kuhlman's story when she was a little girl. And she said every Monday her mother washed. She did the laundry every Monday. And on this particular Monday, there was a message that had come home that a relative was ill, and she wanted to go and visit. So she had packed the clothes together, ready for laundering before the message came, so she had to leave. And she left Catherine in the house. And Catherine said, I thought I would surprise my mother. I want her to know she's got a big girl now at home. She was about 9 years old somewhere. So she said, before mommy comes back, I'll wash everything for her. So she packed all the clothes, the cottons, the woolens, the linens, the fast colors, everything. The white ones, everything. And she packed them all into the basin and turned the water on. And she did the washing. And then she put them on the line. She couldn't wait for mommy to come back. She was all the time pacing the floor. Where is mommy? What she was waiting for was the look on her face when she saw the great work done by her wonderful daughter. So she waited and waited and waited until finally, towards evening time, mommy came. And all the time she was following mommy around and wondering, why won't she come to the laundry to see what's happened here? Then she said, she took a look at the clothes, and she said, I thought they looked a little different. But somehow, maybe this is what always happens when she does it. So she called mommy in to the laundry. And mommy just, what have you done? Where are the clothes? She said. Then mommy stepped forward and looked stupefied. And she looked at her daughter. She said, you did a wonderful job. And Catherine said, I think those were the hardest words that my mother had to utter. In other words, she had difficulty saying those things. But you know what? You got it right. She damaged the clothes. They were all spoiled. But mommy said, you did a wonderful job. The reason for that story was, she was thinking, how many times have we done something for God and we thought it was wonderful and maybe we damaged it? It's not enough for us to feel it was wonderful. What does God think? Does God think the same way? When we praise and dance, does God think it was wonderful? When we pray to God in the way we pray to God and we feel wonderful, does God think it was wonderful? If you're ever going to know what God really thinks about what you do and the way you do what you do and what you say and the way you say what you say, if you're ever going to know how God really feels about it, you've got to know the Word. You've got to know the Word. You've got to know the Word. That's the only way. You've got to know the Word. Without accurate knowledge of the Word of God, you can't serve God correctly. I like some of the, you see, the terms that Jesus used many times in his speeches. For example, when he said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Why did he say, I am the true vine? Because there were other vines. You see, he said, I am the true vine. It's not enough to be a vine. He had to define himself. I am the true vine. Then he said, I am the good shepherd. Not just a shepherd, but the good shepherd. I am the light. Then he was called, this is the true light that lighted everyone that cometh into the world. He's the true vine. He's the good shepherd. He's the true light. Very important that we know who we're dealing with and how to deal with him. There are people who say, well, you can serve God any way you want to. No, that's confusion. God will have to show the people how to worship him. Remember the words of Jesus in the fourth chapter of St. John's Gospel in his encounter with the woman from Samaria. Remember his words? He said, God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you know, in many places they say, let us worship God. And so they say, let's worship him in spirit. And that means let everybody keep quiet. So it's a moment of silence. After a few seconds or so, may the Lord hear our prayers. And let our cries come up to thee. Something's wrong. We didn't say anything. No, somebody said, no, but we were in the spirit. That's why we were quiet. And well, that's the idea that the man has about being in the spirit. Where did he get it from? Anywhere else, but not the Bible. He didn't get it from the Bible. That's not the way. See, the Bible doesn't say to be in the spirit means to shut your trap. That's not what the Bible says. That you're quiet doesn't mean you're in the spirit. So if you keep quiet and just think, doesn't mean you're in the spirit. So you can't just be quiet for 30 seconds and say, may the Lord hear our prayers. But we didn't pray. We didn't pray. When Jesus prayed, the Bible says, and he said, and his words were written. When the apostles prayed, they prayed, they were heard, the words could be written. When the prophets prayed, same thing. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he didn't say, when ye pray, think. No, he said, say, our Father. He said, say it.
Do you know about the incredible features of the Seachings app? It's not just a music platform, but a tool for spiritual growth and empowerment. First, Seachings offers a vast library of gospel music from around the world. You'll always find songs that uplift and inspire. Seachings also provides powerful audio messages. Access teachings from Pastor Chris Ayakalolendi CDD and other ministers of the gospel for guidance, encouragement, and enlightenment. One of Seachings' groundbreaking features is its interactive capability. Connect with other Christians in real time, share testimonies, and participate in discussions. Seachings is a community for building relationships and supporting each other on our spiritual journeys, changing lives worldwide. Visit www.seachings.org. Download the Seachings app today from the Lovell App Store, Google Play Store, and the Apple Store to unlock a world of inspiration. Seachings, where every feature brings you closer to God and each other.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Main Church Naoya, Zebra Road, behind Metroplex Mall. Worship with us on Wednesday, 6 p.m. and Sunday, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimony with us, please call +256 777 002 372 or +256 744 842 849 or send an email to info@loveworldradionetworks.org. This is the continuation of the message Praying in the Spirit.
Hallelujah. The Word of God is clear. The Word of God is made available to us. You can tell what is right by studying the Word for yourself. asked a fellow one time, "Do you speak in tongues?" He said, "I'm not a Pentecostal." I said, "I'm not a Pentecostal either." "Well, you can still speak in tongues. The Bible doesn't talk about Pentecost. All right? The only thing about Pentecost in the scripture is a celebration. Didn't call anybody Pentecostal. In fact, the people who received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost were those who were not celebrating Pentecost. Didn't you notice it? All the Pentecostals were outside and didn't receive the Holy Ghost. No, it's an irony. You know, all over the world, if you ask people who is a Pentecostal, and I'm not critical of Pentecostals, just telling the truth. See, if you ask people who is a Pentecostal, I mean, you study in the Bible schools, the definition of Pentecostalism is the denominational Christianity that believes in speaking in tongues arising from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And it's terrible because that day, all the Pentecostal celebrants didn't speak in tongues. Only those who were not celebrating Pentecost and were in the upper room refusing to celebrate Pentecost were the ones who received the Holy Ghost. So where did they get it from? No, you know, the things that people do, you just wonder how they come about these things. So many assumptions. And then people wonder why their lives are the way they go when their lives are based on assumptions. Just because someone has believed something for 60 years doesn't make it right. Now, do you mean to change? I mean, I've believed this thing for so many years. Doesn't matter. You could have had a glorious life. Now, I told you one time, you know, there are people who, no matter what's happening, they're not going to change a thing. You know, there's a man, you know, he was on his dying bed. While he was on his dying bed, he remembered he was distributing his property and all these kind of things, you know. Give this to that, give this to that. This on his dying bed, you know. Give this. Then he remembered that other son. He said, "No, don't give him anything." He was still angry. He's dying. And you know, there are those who have a problem with a neighbor. And they believe that even if it is hell, I will wrestle him in hell. They are so mad, so angry. If it's their last breath, they're going to use it for the fight. Because hatred had taken over their minds. And they don't think they should change that. You see, the question sometimes we need to ask ourselves is, hey, how happy do you want to be? How fulfilled do you want to be? How successful do you want to be? See, you can live to your best potentials through the Word of God. To your best potentials. Nothing places a limit on you if you go through the Word. Nothing. You will be an absolute victor. With absolute mastery in your life. Oh, but you see, the fact is, that's the life that Jesus brought to us. That's the life. That's the life he brought to us. I'll show you a portion of the Bible. Oh boy. Do you love the Bible? Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. We stopped at the 27th verse. The other day, right? Okay. Let's pick up from there. Book of Romans. Oh, glory to God. From verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, before I go ahead, just a testimony. I'm sure some of you have already been informed that I got a letter from a gentleman who said that after our teaching last Sunday, you know, we got to talking about praying in the Spirit, okay? Being led by the Spirit to pray like this, and how the Holy Ghost bears us up in our weaknesses, in our limitations. You remember that teaching? Okay. So he said, they were at home, and in the night time, he was awakened by the Spirit in the middle of the night to pray. And he prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues for a long while. And in the morning, he still felt that way. So much urge to pray in the Spirit. And his wife joined in and they prayed in the Spirit. And then finally, they went to work. Somewhere in the afternoon or so, they got a message. Something had happened at home. The water tank loaded with water came crashing down the neighbor's water tank, crashed into their bedroom, right on their bed. I mean, the devil wanted to kill them. He couldn't. Because he doesn't have the power. So that thing crashed on their bed. They brought me the pictures. What happened that night? I believe that thing wanted to give way that night. But the Holy Ghost didn't let him. Glory to God. He wanted to give way that night. This guy had this unusual, you know, unrest in his spirit. And he was speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues. And the angels had to stay it. Listen, when you speak in tongues, you give instructions to angelic beings. You have to understand that the Bible calls them spirits, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. The minister for us, that means the minister on our behalf. It's different from if the word of God had said minister to us. No, but it says the minister for us. In other words, they are our servants. But how do we know when to give instructions about things we don't know? How would they have figured out that the tank was right over their bed? They didn't know it. The ceiling would have covered it. Didn't have the idea that thing was going to give way that night. But speaking in tongues. And the groaning in the spirit, because he had an unrest in his spirit. Groaning. And when they were clean, gone out, the thing crashed down. Thanks be unto God. I told you, speak it in tongues and save your life. Are you listening? Don't take it lightly. There are reasons we've got to speak in tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost. And have the... You see, we can't start out and say, okay, I want to groan now. No, it's the Holy Ghost that takes over. But you've got to start out by speaking in tongues, because you can speak in tongues yourself. But when you begin speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God, if there is something that needs to be dealt with, he would take over for you. Because already you're speaking the language of the Spirit. There are many things that we can change in our lives if we would only speak in tongues. many things will change in our lives. Many, many things we will stop from happening. There are things that have persisted for long because someone wasn't speaking in tongues. Something could have happened a year ago and it's still lingering. Something could have happened for you 5 years ago. You prayed about it. God answered. How come you didn't see it? How come you didn't have it manifested as you wanted? If you were speaking in tongues, you would have gained the mastery.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow! This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Main Church Naoya, Zebra Road, behind Metroplex Mall. Worship with us on Wednesday 6 p.m. and Sunday 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +256 777 002 372. Or +256 744 842 849. Or send an email to info@loveworldradionetworks.org. God bless you.